If you are looking to purchase Promatic traps, either for personal or commercial use, the person you need to call is Rick Hemingway. Rick is the largest Promatic dealer in the country and is a one-stop shop for any of your trap needs. His team provides new and used trap sales and service that is second to none, as he is available 24/7. They offer a huge rental fleet with over 100 traps, so no job is too big or too small. Not only does Rick set and design sporting clays courses, but also offers a turnkey service for skeet, trap, and five stands. Give one of the most well-known target setters in the country a call for any of your trap needs. You can contact Rick Hemingway at backwoodsquailclub.com or call 843-546-1466.
You are now listening to the all-new Shotgun Sports Podcast with your host, Justin Barker. We talk to shotgun shooters from all disciplines, world-class instructors, gun clubs, target setters, vendors, and industry-leading companies that fuel the sport. Make sure you subscribe to our podcast, leave us a review, and connect with us on social media. You can also catch our episodes on ShotgunSportsUSA.com.
Tom, welcome to the show.
Hey, man. How you doing?
Good. Glad to have you on. I know you've been on the show with me a few times before, but this is the first time you've ever been on the new show.
Oh, yeah. I'm excited about this new show. I Behind the Break started up, had a whole lot of interest, and did a lot of good things for the sport. It was fun time listening, a lot of good information out there. And things change over time and everything, and things evolve, and I'm excited about the new show.
Well, thank you. I'm glad to have you on. In this episode, I want to talk about nationals. I want to talk about World FITAS coming up, talk about your new job and several other things. But first, are you watching the election?
Man, I think everybody is.
Yeah, I think everybody is too. What do you think about what's going on with it?
And I think no matter who you're pulling for, you have to look at this and sit here and question the integrity of what's going on. I understand there's been votes in or elections in the past that have not been decided on election night. And, they were decided, months after or, weeks after. But I don't think quite to this scale. I was pretty young the last time this happened in 2000. So I can't really speak too much on that, but I think there's a lot of fishy things going on. You hear reports of, more voting, more votes than there are voters in some states. You see some questionable counts. The media is calling some states a lot quicker than they are others. The mail-in ballots have obviously, been pretty questionable. So I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see how it turns out. I definitely think it's going to be messy. It's pretty shocking, to be honest. But anyways.
Yeah, that's, I thought about when I heard the mail-in ballot thing, that this is going to be a big problem. And it's turned into a big problem. I just don't know how you can regulate or track mail-in ballots. I don't get it.
I mean, yeah, it's definitely not clean.
It touches so many different people's hands. From the time you fill this thing out and you put it in the mail, you never know you don't know where it's going. I mean, I've heard of people who turned in mail-in ballots that they didn't even make it to where they were going.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard of a lot of situations where they've mailed it just like that. And then, you've got these states that are counting, and they're taking up to a week after the election day to count these votes. And a lot can change in a week's time. It's just not traditional, not clean. Appears, you've got to sit here and think there's a lot of voting fraud going on. So I just, I don't know. It's kind of scary, to be honest. You kind of sit here and wonder why even vote, you know, why or when things like this are going on, because it just appears like
it doesn't matter.
Exactly. I mean, you know, it doesn't matter. It's going to go one way. However it gets there, they're going to get it. They're going to make it go one way. And it appears pretty sloppy. I mean, if you're, all these things, with more voters and then, you know, more votes than there are voters, it's just, you know, numbers rising, for one candidate, not the other. It's pretty sloppy.
Yeah, I agree.
Not much integrity in the voting process. It doesn't seem like.
Yeah. Well, I hope the best man wins. That's for sure. So, that's all I can say about that. But
yeah.
Anyway, I'm not a politician. I don't follow politics. I just follow who I want to win, and that's about it. So
yeah.
Anyway,
I'm by no means a professional, but you know, I'm like you. I hope the best man wins.
Was this your first year to vote?
No, I voted in 16.
Okay. All right. So anyway, let's get on into some shooting stuff. The first thing I want to talk about really is nationals. You know, Derek Mine, of course, won nationals, and he'll be on the show next week. But tell me a little bit about it. I mean, how was the whole atmosphere there with the COVID deal and you know, did it affect anything? And let's talk about targets and stuff like that. So,
yeah, I mean, I thought it was, for the circumstances that was given, I thought it was really good. I think the targets were good. I think everybody's tired of hearing the word COVID. But it really has affected a lot of things. It definitely affected the atmosphere of the shoot, in my opinion. Typically when you go to nationals, it's kind of like, you have the Top Gun shoot off, North versus South. You have dinners you can go to. People stay out there and at night and watch shoot offs and hang out more during the day. And there were a lot of people there. I really was amazed at the number of people that showed up to nationals, but without those events there at night and things like that, the hype, in my opinion, didn't seem to be there as much. But I feel like that's how the whole year has gone. But saying that, they did a really good job with the whole match and I have to give my hats off to Derek. I mean, he's on fire this year. Derek's hard to beat. He's hard to beat, period. And when he gets on fire, he's nearly impossible.
Yeah, I agree with that. And anything he does with a shotgun, it's amazing.
He's definitely got it going.
Yeah.
I thought it was great.
You didn't shoot the early rotation. You shot the 4-day rotation. Let me ask you about that while we're talking. While I just brought that up. Do you see an advantage of shooting the early rotation versus the 4-day rotation? I mean, you shot it enough to know.
Yeah, I've never shot the early rotation. You know, I, obviously the traditional way to shoot the 4-day rotation. Since I have not shot the early rotation, it's really hard for me to give a definitive answer on whether it's an advantage or a disadvantage to shoot over 2 days as opposed to four. You know, I don't think that nationals has ever been won on the 2-day rotation, but typically the top shooters shoot the 4-day rotation. So, you know, it's hard for me to say, but just sitting here, I would say that it would be a little bit of an advantage because, you know, coming down the stretch on Sunday, I've been in a position of, you know, being tied for the win or being in the lead and, having shot really well the first 3 days and coming down the stretch, it's a lot of pressure to have to deal with. I mean, you have everybody there, you know, everybody's watching you. It's hard to avoid the attention of being in the lead or being, you know, in the running. And I think that pressure on Sunday is the biggest factor to have to deal with, as opposed to, you know, if you shoot a really good score on Monday or Tuesday or Saturday or Sunday of the previous week, then you don't have as much of that pressure to contend with. I mean, you'll know you're on a pretty good number, but you're not comparing it with anything that's already been shot, so the pressure is a little less. You know, people have always said that you have to deal with competing. You have to put together two good days as opposed to four good days. I mean, you know, I still think you could have a bad round. You still have to shoot four rounds. But I think the biggest difference is dealing with the pressure and the atmosphere and the hype that of being in the lead at the national championship and being in contention is much, much more on Sunday. And you know, I've been in a position like that before. I didn't have quite the experience then as I do now. And it was really, really tough. And it would still be really tough. I mean, that's not taken away from anything. It's just the atmosphere of a shoot that big is tough to manage on the last day. So that would be my answer. I would think the 4-day rotation would be a little harder to win. And, you know, that's the traditional way. I probably will always shoot the 4-day rotation just because if I win it, I want to win it on the traditional way.
Yeah, I get it. Makes sense. So you talked about the targets were good. Kind of talk about them a little bit. You know, I wasn't there, so talk to me like make me feel like I was there.
Yeah, I mean, the courses I thought were really even. I didn't think that there was one course necessarily any harder than the other. The weather was really good throughout the whole event. I will say that if you drew an early rotation, and I don't know if one day was necessarily worse than any of the others, but I do know that most of the early rotations, you know, that started at 8 o'clock in the morning, the light was really tough, and some days it was pretty foggy. And so that made it tough on some of the courses, but there was nothing that was just astoundingly hard. I mean, there were a few targets that kind of surprised me. The green course had a on edge 90 that kind of popped out behind a tree with some distance on it. That kind of surprised me. But it was definitely a fair target. And I just thought they were all really, I thought they were pretty good. It was all fair and it was all right there in front of you. And, Derek just happened to hit more of them than anybody else.
Yeah. So, he hit a lot of them. That's for sure.
He did.
And Zach and Corey also, good shooting with them too. I think that was the top three.
I have to tip my hat to Zach as well. I mean, he put together some amazing scores. Zach seems to always do really well in San Antonio. I mean, he blew it out of the water on the third day, straighted one of the courses. And on the very first day, he shot a 74 on the green course, which I know there were some really good scores turned in, but when I shot it, I did not see a 74. But, you know, I wasn't shooting that great either. Typically, when you're not shooting great, it looks a little harder.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, you know, speaking of shooting, you're a Krieghoff shooter, and you have the new 34-inch parkour barrels. And you shot 32-inch parkour barrels. Do you see? Tell me about these barrels. I mean, which ones do you really like? Which ones do you? I mean, give me some detail on that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, for people that don't know, before I shot a Krieghoff, I grew up shooting a Prati that was a 34-inch gun, and you know, when the parkour came out and I swapped to the 32-inch parkour, I had some pretty good success early on. It really was not as big of a learning curve as I would have thought. The parkour really balances and handles well. You know, it points really well. You know, so I really didn't have a whole lot of complaints out of the 32. And I think possibly one of the reasons, I don't really 100% know, but one of the reasons I feel like it wasn't a huge transition phase is because The length of the Krieghoff's receiver is, it's a little longer than a Perazzi's. And so the 32-inch barrel, given the added length in the receiver, it wasn't terribly short compared to a 34-inch gun that I had been shooting. So I had a lot of success with the 32s, and they move really well. And then they came out with the 34s. And that was something they had mentioned to me really early on, was that what they wanted to come out with. And, due to all the COVID issues and what have it, they came out earlier this year, and I got a set, and I've been, shooting them in practice and kind of, trying to determine what I like the best. And naturally I favor the 34s. But this year as a whole has been really hard, in terms of competing and trying to determine, something like that, because, it's hard to test it in a competition. Pretty much the whole middle of the year was wiped out, and it's really hard to compete and determine something like that, changing a gun, because, even though the barrels don't weigh that much differently, the weight's in a different spot. And so just learning to control those 34s is, has been something I'm working on, and it's something that, has been tougher because the whole year, competition mindset has pretty much lacked the whole year. And from talking to everybody, it's kind of the same for everybody. But I really like the Parkours, the 34s, and they've even come out with a heavier 32-inch barrel called the X that I picked up and shot and really liked too. So Krieghoff's got a lot of things out right now that it's pretty interesting and gives you a lot of options. And I'm really liking the 34s. But when you have some success, when you have a lot of success with the 32s, it's hard to forget that as well, So
what do you do in that situation? You just figure the 34s out, or you get the 32s back?
Well, I don't know because of all the COVID and everything, I didn't get the 34s until after the beginning of the year. And it's really hard to make a swap like that in the middle of the year. Even with the competitions all being canceled throughout the middle, right. So I'm kind of sticking with the 32s right now. I have both. I'm kind of sticking with the 32s right now, just until we get to the off season, the short off season that we'll have, and then I'll really take a lot of time to determine what I want to do. But I'm liking the 34s a lot. I mean, I think that's a really good move for him. So right now I'm with the 32s, but I do practice. I shoot with the 34s quite a bit, and I'm eager to shoot them more. But I don't know how wise it would be to shoot them full time, changing in the middle of the year. If that makes any sense.
Yeah. I'm just thinking about you shooting 34-inch barrels. You and I shot in Tennessee not that long ago, and I turned around and you had choke tubes you were putting in the end of those 34-inch barrels, and it just made me laugh because I've never seen you do that before. So you've got choked 34-inch barrels, right?
Right, and I'm not, I've never had chokes in a gun, and so I actually sent those barrels back, and I'm getting some fixed barrels. I just don't like. I don't know. There's something about it. Even though I don't change them, for some reason, I just don't like. I just don't like having chokes in a gun for some reason.
Yeah. You're looking at them and thinking, what does this do? I mean, it was just funny to see you change. You pulled your little case out and you had it in your hand, and you're trying to figure out which one you wanted to shoot on this station. It's just something you didn't ever see you do before. So
yeah, they had to teach me how to use a choke wrench.
and they're flush mounted chokes too. I thought that was pretty neat. And I think they're coming that way from Krieghoff now, right?
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So I wonder if you have the option to get a fixed or a choke barrel, or do they just come all choked? Do you know?
Yeah. No, you have an option. You can get either or.
Okay. All right. So moving on, a little bit during the, I guess, the off season. I know you've been busy working at Sea Oil Company full time. I think you went full time now with that. And tell me how that's been going, and is that an effect in practice or anything like that for you, being able to work full time and shoot?
You know, that's a pretty interesting question. I'm glad you brought that up. You know, people that I talk to pretty regularly know that I've started working full time. In the family business. I've always worked during the summers there. I've always, you know, it's an oil company, so we sell fuel to, you know, construction companies, you know, dump truck, you know, trucking companies, gas stations, you know, all kinds of applications to sell bulk fuels and bulk oils and stuff like that. And so, you know, my dad started the company in 95 and has grown it. And I have two older brothers that are both working at the oil company as well, and they have their own positions. And, you know, all three of us had grown up during the summers delivering oil, you know, driving trucks, delivering oil, sweeping the floor, you know, helping out in any way we could, you know, painting fuel tanks. I remember a lot of summers painting fuel tanks and just kind of doing some grunt work and stuff like that, you know, when I had time, during the summer. And, so then, you know, I started college and I didn't have as much time to devote towards the oil company. And so I started shooting and giving a lot of lessons, to offset that income I had for the oil company, and shooting went, you know, obviously is going really well. And so it kind of came a time here in the beginning of this year where we had a few positions that were changing and the dynamic of the company was kind of changing a little bit. And, I had to step in and take a pretty big management role in the company. I manage about 10 people, and cover a pretty big geographic area. And so, you know, that obviously takes up a lot of my time. I'm still giving lessons and stuff on the weekend. Not quite as many, obviously, cause I just don't have the time. But I have to say it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun to get to work with my dad, every day, you know, and grow something that he's really passionate about. And I'm really passionate about, you know, my brothers, we all get along really well. And so it's a lot of fun, but in terms of how it's affected my shooting, I would have to say that, I don't think anybody's been shooting as much, this year as they would during a normal year. But, I since I'm in kind of more of a management position, I can kind of make my own schedule in a sense. And so in terms of practice time, it hasn't affected it that much. I find myself coming home in the afternoon, still shooting with my dad at the house, just like normal. And since I have machines at the house, it really has not been that big of a transition, because I typically wouldn't shoot until he came home in the afternoons anyways, because I didn't have anybody to pull for me. So that hasn't really changed that much. And I would say in terms of, you know, competitions, that since I spend a lot of time managing other people and making sure things go smoothly in the company as kind of an operations type manager, when I get away and I get to a competition now, I've kind of structured it in a way where it's really a big relief, and it's more fun now than it ever has been, because, you know, in shooting, you can typically, if you have a lot of time on your hands, you can make up problems that might not necessarily be there. Where I don't really have that time now, you know, when I'm not shooting, and when I actually am competing, I get to think about myself a lot, you know, and I enjoy that more now, because it's sort of a luxury, you know, because I spend so much time managing other people at a at a day job. And so, being in the position I am, has rewards and drawbacks, but one of the rewards is I get to spend, I get to manage my own day, and I get to, as long as all the work gets done, everything gets done smoothly, which, knock on wood, it's gone pretty good so far. But, I think in the long run, it will be a benefit to my shooting, for those reasons, because I just enjoy it more. And you can, you can ask most people, I think that shooting, when you do it for a living, shooting can become not enjoyable. It becomes a full-time job. And I feel like that's changed a little bit with this right here. Now, it definitely is still a job for me, but I enjoy it more, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. Yeah. It makes sense. Everything you said makes sense. I mean, going to work and working, I mean, when you go to see oil company, I've been there, it's all business. And when you get away from it, it feels like you're kind of like you've got a reward, so like a time off, kind of like a small vacation, So, has this year affected the oil business at all?
No, it's been pretty steady. I will say we do haul a lot of fuel to retail stores, gas stations, BP stores, Exxon stores, stuff, things like that. That took a really, really big hit this year when all the lockdowns occurred and people weren't traveling as much. But on the construction side and bulk delivering oil, engine oils and transmission fluids, things of that nature, it really did not slow that down at all. It continued right on just fine. It actually ended up being a really good year for the company, one of the better years in the history of the company. So, pretty thankful for that, because there are other people that weren't as fortunate, and so that worked out pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. You think the break in the season caused by COVID has affected the mental state of competition?
Oh, definitely. I definitely think it is. There have been some great scores shot in tournaments this year, but I've talked to just about everybody, and everybody kind of has the mindset of, I'm ready to get to 2021. I'm ready to start over. I'm ready to start over with something that's normal. I mean, I know I've spent the last, 5-6 years of my life, doing nothing in the summer but traveling every 2 to 3 weeks. We didn't get to go to Europe this year. Most of the regionals got canceled, and that's definitely going to have an effect, because, when you come out of the off season, you haven't competed in, a couple of months, 2 or 3 months. And people always can tell, when you haven't competed in 2 or 3 months in a competition. And that's kind of the way it has been this whole year, because, you would have tournaments that were supposed to happen, and then all of a sudden they wouldn't happen, and they would have to cancel them, and you didn't really know which ones were coming up. And now the year's going to go pretty far into December. And so I think everybody's a little rattled and a little rusty throughout the whole year, just because there's no consistency. It's hard to count on something, and it's hard to build on any momentum, because there's really been nothing happening, So
what about the businesses within the sport? Do you think that this has really affected them any, as far as, just the whole industry? You think it's been affected by the break in COVID?
Oh yeah, I definitely do. I mean, I know there's, most of the companies are foreign companies. I mean, you have Krieghoff and Beretta and Gamebore and Paratzi and, all these companies from overseas. I mean, Europe's been worse than we have. Yeah. And so I definitely think it has. I know shells have been hard to get. Fortunately, game boards have been pretty good. They keep coming in, and everything seems to be strong and rolling really well. I've you know, that's been awesome. But, you know, I definitely think it's hurt a few gun sales, especially right there in the beginning when everybody was kind of panicking, didn't really know what was going on or what was happening. But, you know, people were hopeful at Nationals. People were in pretty good spirits and, you know, went around and talked to everybody for, it felt like the first time of the year. And, you know, everything's starting to come back and everybody's feeling really good, you know? So it's pretty positive news.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yep. And you've got the regional, Southeast regional coming up, and you've got World Feed Task coming up. It's going to be in Mississippi. I'm assuming you're going to the World Feed Task.
Yeah, I am. Okay. Leaving Wednesday.
This Wednesday. So let me ask you this. The World Feed Task normally consists of everybody, right? I mean, all the countries, they go shoot World Feed Task, and the winner is the world champion. This year, from what I've been told, that they're not going to be here. The people from, you know, the UK and everywhere else, they're not going to be here. So it's still called the World Feed Task, but how do you feel about that? Being a very competitive shooter, how do you feel about going to the World Feed Task and the best in the world aren't here?
You know, I mean, the title is the world championship, but it really can't be the world championship until all the best in the world are here. You know, there's a lot of good shooters in the United States. I mean, there's a lot of people here that are in contention to win it, but, you know, there's also a lot of people from overseas that are always at the top. You know, you have George and Richard and Mark and Andras and, you know,
Sam Green.
Alvarez, Sam Green, I mean, he won it last year. So, I mean, it just, you know, I think it's definitely going to have an asterisk by it, whoever wins it. I mean, I would, you know, I would, if I were to be lucky enough to win it, I would be very, very appreciative and everything. But I also I would also understand it's not truly a world title if you haven't beaten everybody that's the best in the world.
Yeah. Do you think anybody else feels the same way?
I think everybody feels the same way. I spoke with David earlier about it a little bit, and he felt the same way I did. And to be honest, I may be wrong by this, but I don't necessarily know if even Derek or Corey is going to be there. I think they've got some other plans, and you know, so it'll be fun and it'll be competitive, but it won't be like the normal world championship would be, which is, you know, it typically is my favorite competition. Just the format is so much fun, but I think it's going to be a little different this year. So I don't think it can be held as the winner can be held the world champion. I think we'll just have to wait till next year to find out who the best in the world is.
Yeah. Yeah. You think they're going to make you walk here, or are they going to let you ride in golf carts?
I think they'll let us ride in golf carts. I heard you have to bring your own, though. They're not going to let you rent any, but I may be wrong.
Well, I can tell you this. I won't ever go if I have to walk. You know what I'm saying? So I'll probably be going.
It's all right. I'll pick you up in the Ranger.
So you going? Are you? Where else are you going? There's just a few more shoots left. You going to Southeast Regional too?
Yeah, definitely. And I don't know after that. I'm like I said, I'm looking forward to next year getting it started back off right. Hopefully.
Yeah, I think everybody is, man. I mean, with business, I know you said you had a good year this year, but you can. I mean, it's still not normal. I mean, you go into restaurants, all the people that own the restaurants, I know they're ready for stuff to get back normal. It's just, you know, sitting 6 feet away and this and that, and everywhere you go, you know, you've got these regulations, so to speak, that's put on you before you can do anything. And it's just, you know, I'm in the car business, and the car business is actually just like what you said with the oil business. This is one of the best years we've had, even though we didn't have a whole lot of inventory, but the ups and downs of figuring out how to get it and what the customer's going to do, it's, you know, it's just, you want to bang your head up against the wall sometimes and just, you know, what's going on? You know, when's it going to change? When's it going to go back like it used to be? So, and I think everybody's over 2020 and just ready for the new year to come in. So,
Yeah, I'd have to agree. I mean, you definitely feel uncomfortable everywhere you go, just about, you know. You don't know if you have to wear a mask, you don't, you know, and I'll be glad when all this is over. I don't really know when it's going to be over, but I hope it's very, very soon, because maybe 2021, you'll just start out great. I know the shooting year. I hope it gets back to normal.
Yeah.
I kind of miss, you know, I miss the competitions. You know, I'm really competitive, so I miss competing on a more regular basis.
Now, are you still in college? You still trying to finish up college, or did you finish college?
I'm finishing up. I don't like very much, but I'm finishing up. I can't devote as much time to it anymore. I don't go full time. I take online classes, but I don't like too much. And I do plan to finish it on up, just because, you know, I'm so close. Why not? And it'll be something I always have. That's and right. You know, I feel like I just need to do that. So, you know, it sounds like I'm spread pretty thin, and but I'm not a person that gets into the college life. I'm not a person that, you know, I like to think of myself as pretty driven. You know, I focus on you know, the oil company, shooting, finishing school, you know, and then my girlfriend, obviously. So,
yeah. So are you going to continue to coach, or what are you going to do with that?
Yeah, I still coach, quite a bit. I'm a little more, this may sound bad, but I'm a little more selective now, I guess you would say. Just because I don't have as much time, there's some people around here, that are, you know, good friends of mine and take a lot of lessons and enjoy, you know, we get along well with each other, and there's probably six or seven people that I regularly give lessons to. And then, there's a couple other people that I teach, and I guess I could do more, but I'm pretty booked up, and I want to leave plenty of time for myself to shoot. And I enjoy it. I enjoy working with those people. I really enjoy teaching. I like to see people, you know, do better and accomplish their goals. You know, it's a good feeling to have someone tell you know, man, I'm really glad. You know, it was definitely worth my money. And so I am teaching, just not as much, more on the weekends. And now with the time change, you know, it getting darker so much earlier, I'm not teaching during the weekend, just because I just don't have the time. But on the weekends, I stay pretty booked up. So,
yeah. Before I let you go, I want to ask you a question. I'm gonna kind of throw you off with it, but I think you're pretty smart. You can answer it. And I've asked this on other podcasts as well. If there was one in one word, what would you do to change this sport to make it better?
Professionalism.
Okay. Now tell me, now go into that.
I think that, boy, you've really put me on the spot here. I think that this sport lacks some professionalism from not just one specific body. I think that Sporting Clays, you know, how do I word this? I'm trying to think how I should word this and be diplomatic here. You know, I see, like at Nationals or any big tournaments, I think one thing that I would want to change the most is you hear a lot of the top guys, you know, they're all squatted on different rotations. And typically you hear, man, I had bad light on this day, or you know, I had to shoot straight into the sun, or, you know, it started raining when I was shooting. And you have you have quite a bit of money. I know Nationals was $10,000 for HOA this year, I believe. It might have been a little more, but I think it was $10,000. and you don't have the top guys shooting in the same rotations on the same courses on the same days, you know, I think that should be something that we look at to try to, you know, take the top guys, you know, the top 20, top 30, however you want, top 25, however you want to break it down, and have them shooting, you know, the same courses on the same days during the same times. I think that would make, you know, I think that's a level of professionalism that golf has and other sports have. I believe, you know, Olympic skeet, they do it that way, trap. And so in that aspect, I think we could raise professionalism of the sport a little bit. You know, when you start to compete for bigger money, you want to try to even the playing field. Something else I think holds the sport back a little bit is some greed. Some people are in it for the money, you know, for money right now, things that may not be in the best interest of the sport, but may only be for in the best interest of the person, specific individuals. I think if people were a little more mature in understanding of, you know, the sport as a whole and how, you know, if the sport grows as a whole, that it would really benefit the people that make their, you know, really benefit the people that make their living doing this, and it would raise the enjoyment for the people that just do it for fun, you know. And so anyways, you know, that's a topic that you could go on and on and on about, and there'd be a lot of people have different opinions on it, and that's just my take on it, but I think there are some things that we could do differently to bring out more professionalism in the sport and attract more attention, making it a little more fair. So that's just my take on it. But I think being more professional in all aspects, from the top guys to the organization to the clubs to, you know, how we compete, how we structure the tournaments and the rotations, and how, you know, how all that goes. But anyways, that's just my take on it.
Yeah. I mean, everybody has it's kind of interesting to ask that question because everybody says something different, of course. And it's interesting to hear their take on what they say. So, yeah, I mean,
right. I know there's a counter argument to probably every topic that you would bring up, you know? And so, I think, like you said, everybody would have a different answer, or maybe there's some people would agree on all the same topics. But one of the biggest things I would really like to change how, you know, it's squatted. You know, I would like for the top guys to shoot all in the same, under the same circumstances. You know, that would kind of self-govern itself and you know, keep it fair.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't disagree. We've talked about that before. I mean, I think everybody's probably for that. Just the logistics of everybody being there, like at Nationals at the same time, you know, but that maybe that's part of it. You have to be there at the same time if you want to shoot. I don't know. So,
yeah. Yeah. I mean, if you're one of the guys that's competing for the top spot, you know, I would sure hope it would be, you know, I would sure hope it would be fair if you start to compete for bigger money, you know, and I think everybody would agree with that. I've talked to a lot of people about it, and, you know, because everybody gets, I don't know about lucky, but everybody gets the short, you know, draws a short stick every now and then, and everybody gets lucky every now and then, you know. But I do think that if you ask everybody, you know, how do you win a big tournament, they will say, you know, you got to have some luck involved. And that's part of what they mean by that. And so I think even in the playing field would make everybody feel better, at least. It would be more professional. So I wish that's something we would do, but we'll see how it turns out.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I don't want to keep you any longer. I appreciate you coming on. Good luck at World Feed Task and whatever else you're going to shoot this year. And I guess we'll be ready to roll into 2021 before too long.
Yes, sir. I appreciate you having me on. I enjoyed talking, and I hope nothing for the best, but for the podcast, and And I hope to be back on again sometime.
Oh, yeah. We're going to keep ticking, and I'm sure you'll be back on again. But have a good day, and we'll talk to you next time.
All right. That sounds good. See you.
All right, Tom.